So welcome to the last block of lectures, and there are only two more half lectures. There's one about the Czech English dependency tree bank and the other one about the Arabic dependency tree bank. And this is what I promised at the very beginning, that the prior dependency tree bank is not just one Czech-based tree bank, but in fact it's a family of projects. And that family of projects also includes the English tree bank, actually the parallel Czech English tree bank, and the Arabic one. So I will start with the Czech English parallel tree bank. The in general, if anyone wants to work in the domain of translation, both automatic and human, or do any kind of comparative studies, one of the invaluable resources, and maybe the most important one, is actually translations, existing translations, or simply human-made translations between the two languages, and sometimes even among many languages. These corpora are much harder to collect than just monolingual corpus, because nowadays you can get a lot of data from the web. Just, you know, all, it's not just English, it's, I mean, half of the web is non-English, so you can get a lot of data from the other languages as well. You can get sometimes it even from the publishers. But to get translations in the sense that you get both the source text and the target text in electronic form, and in a form you can actually legally use it, that's much more difficult. There are many translations being done in many areas, but the only available at the moment are mostly legal texts like laws and or codes, and some translations from the legal bodies, like the European Parliament, the European Commission. But again, not all of them are available in all the languages, not even for Czech. I mean, we are members for 2.5 years, and still the status of Czech is not the same as for the other languages. So we don't get the parliament translations, only the headlines currently in Czech. So we cannot get the data from there yet. If you have some other translations, like, I mean, you might say, okay, well, all these Microsoft products, of course, they have lots of documentation, and you get the, you should be able to get the manuals in many versions. But of course, they are unavailable in the source form from anywhere. I mean, even though we have contacts with the companies that do the translations for Microsoft when translating the manuals to Czech, but there is no way to actually use them. Even for research purposes, it would be you know, kind of illegal to do that. We did have some stuff from IBM 6 years ago, but we only were allowed to use it for internal purposes. So again, when doing a parallel tree bank or parallel corpus, it's not our goal just to use it just ourselves, because we want to publish it so that other people can use whatever we add to the raw data. So that's one of the issues, is actually how to get hold of parallel data that you can use and you can and possibly even distribute to other people if you add any value to those corpora. So for the moment, we are working with quite small corpora, but despite of that, we believe that doing a parallel tree bank, even on a smaller scale, has an advantage of simply having the data, trying things with them, and hopefully getting more data in the future. So our goal, obviously, is to have a parallel corpus available for machine translation, for experiments with machine translation, mostly statistically based, but also possibly as a test material for any kind of automatic translation programs. The Prague Czech English Dependency Tree Bank is, as I said, one of the Prague Dependency Tree Bank family tree banks, which means that we use the same scheme of annotation. I will show it again in a second. But most important thing is, what texts are we using? You know, but what I just said, it was difficult to get the data. So we are using one resource that was actually free to use, and that was the Penn Tree Bank, the texts from the Penn Tree Bank. We mentioned Penn Tree Bank several times here. It's a resource. It's the first modern a tree bank of English that was annotated on both the morphological or part of speech level and the syntactic level, and it's still being worked on annotations are being added to the pen tree bank so that it is being enriched, and therefore I think it will be used for a long time to come. So we decided to use that resource, and in order to get the parallel text, we had to translate it. I mean, the texts from the pen tree bank were not available beforehand in Czech. The texts that are part of the pen tree bank are from various sources, but the most important one, the one that actually has the manual tree bank built on it, is Wall Street Journal texts from the late 80s and early 90s. And Wall Street Journal is an economic daily newspaper, and it publishes articles mostly on economic news and financial news, but also it publishes articles on general world news, some sports, and even some cultural news. I remember an article about Charlie Chaplin's granddaughter also being involved in some arts. Recently, one of the last documents we are translating was about building bells, like the big church bells, and so there was an article about that. And there are some sports articles about baseball and all the other American favorite sports. So it's not just financial, but most of it is from the economic domain. The size of the original corpus is 1.2 million words. It's about 50,000 sentences. And we said, okay, 1.2 million words, that's possible to translate. It won't be a big resource, but let's try that. And then the idea was that we will build the parallel tree bank using all the PDT-like annotation layers on both sides, on both Czech and English. So the pen tree bank was first published in 1993 by the Linguistic Data Consortium, and I already mentioned that that's our publisher for the Czech data, and actually LDC publishes data in many, many languages, and you will hear from OTA that also the Arabic data are published very frequently by the LDC. The documents in the pen tree bank are divided into sections, and each section contains 100 documents, except for the first one, which for whatever reason, I don't know, has only 99 documents, so there is no document with number zero, for whatever, I don't know, maybe they don't consider zero to be a natural number. Anyway, so there is 2,499 documents in the collection of various sizes. There are documents which contain only one or two sentences, very short, brief stories about some shares moving up or down. But also they contain articles that have up to 100 sentences in that single document. So you can easily compute the average size of one document. If we have 1.2 million words and 2,000 documents, so that gives the average number of words in each document. Since this is called the pen tree bank, the good property of that text is that it's annotated, both on the part of speech level, meaning that each word in the corpus has assigned a part of speech tag, the English one, from the set that we usually call the Wall Street Journal part of speech tag set. It's English. It's sufficient for the description of English on the morphological and part of speech level. And it also contains annotation of the syntax of those financial and news stories. Obviously, that annotation is not dependency based. I mean, all the British and American computational linguistics schools still works not today, but certainly 15 years ago, worked in the phrase structure domain. So all the syntactic annotation is based on a virtual phrase structure grammar. So the trees are built, I will show some examples, but the trees are built by essentially bracketing the words in the sentence recursively to finally get at the sentence structure. And each of those brackets has associated a name of the phrase, which is the non-terminal name, but also in the latest version, they also included what they call function tags. So we know that this noun phrase is the subject of the sentence, and that subject thing, it's called the functional tag. And as you can see, if you remember what we said about the Prague dependency tree bank analytic layer, this is pretty close. So we thought that we could convert the phrase-based annotation into the dependency one, and then that way get an annotation even on the English side that would be compatible with ours. But of course, it was not that easy. So let me show you a real example from the Penn Tree Bank. And what you see on the screen is the famous sentence number one from the Penn Tree Bank. And I think everyone knows this almost by heart, that Pierre Vinken, 61 years old, will join the board as a non-executive director November 29. So this is the sentence number one from the document 0001 from the Penn Tree Bank. And it's short enough to display on the screen, so it became very popular in all the papers about the Penn Tree Bank. So what you see on the screen is actually the actual data as it is recorded in the corpus. If you really go to the data files on the CD, if you get the Penn Tree Bank, you really see exactly this. Even the formatting is I just copied it from the files. So what is the structure of that? So first of all, with each word, and actually even each token, I mean words and punctuation, there is the part of speech tag. In the phrase-based annotation terminology, this is called the pre-terminal. The words are called terminals, and the part of speech tags are called pre-terminals. And in that annotation, the pre-terminal, which is the part of speech tag, that precedes the word immediately. There is no bracket in between, but those two things are always together in a pair of brackets. So NNS for the word years means it's a general noun in plural. So that S is just a mnemonic marker for plural. So it's kind of confusing because we use S for singular, but because the plural in English is formed by S, so that's kind of the mnemonic help. The phrases, as I said, the phrases are bracketed recursively from the bottom up or top down, whatever you want to see it. So a noun phrase is actually bracketed by a single pair of brackets that in this case actually brackets two words, the and board. And the board is considered to be a noun phrase. Now the fact that it is a noun phrase is marked by the label that's being attached to the left bracket. So the left bracket starts the phrase, the corresponding right bracket ends the phrase, and the name of the phrase, in this case the NP meaning noun phrase, is attached to the left bracket. So the whole thing is a noun phrase, and this is the name of this is the label that says it's a noun phrase. And here we have one word with its part of speech tag or the preterminal belonging to the word the. And this is the preterminal, in this case, a singular noun, singular general noun, that belongs to the word board. And then gradually the phrases are bracketed more and more, and in the end they actually form a sentence. And the fact that the whole thing is a sentence is recorded up here, and the S means this is a sentence. The functional tags I mentioned, they are attached to the phrase labels using a hyphen. So here we have only three actually. One is here, so this noun phrase is actually the subject, and it belongs to the phrase Pierre Vinken. And then here we have a prepositional phrase. Not sure what CLR means, but again, that's the function as a non-executive director of the phrase and as a non-executive director. And the last function tag here is the TMP, which is a function label to this noun phrase, and this noun phrase consists of two words, November 29th. So apparently November 29th is a time phrase that denotes some point in time. The the whole annotation is again a tree. Of course, in this case, it's not a dependency tree, but it's called a parse tree, or sometimes derivation tree, because it can be considered to be the derivation if you have a context-free grammar with those non-terminals that were used in the sentence, and you just draw the tree so it looks exactly like this. So this is the phrase structure tree of the same sentence. The non-terminals are drawn again from the top. So the top one is the S, denoting the sentence, and that non-terminal can be divided into the subjective noun phrase, the verb phrase, and the final punctuation. And again, the subject noun phrase is actually Pierre Winken, 61 years old, and the comma comes here. And the verb phrase is everything else in the sentence. And again, it's divided into several parts, like the modal that modifies the other verb phrase, and the verb phrase then has the verb and actually two arguments, the object, even though it doesn't have the mark as an object. So this is the noun phrase. This is the prepositional phrase that says as a non-executive director, and the time point phrase. Here, I think it's clear why the part of speech tags are called the pre-terminals, because if you look at the tree top down, so the terminal nodes are the nodes which are not expanded anymore, and you see that the words themselves are written at the terminal nodes, and the nodes just above them are called the pre-terminal nodes. And they contain not the phrase label markers, but they contain the part of speech tag. And only the higher nodes are the actual non-terminal nodes in the phrase structure grammar terminology. Of course, in a regular context-free grammar terminology, even the part of speech tags would be called non-terminals. And this is the famous picture which you should know by heart from these 2 days, right? This is our most popular picture. I should give the credit. It was Zdeněk Žabokrický who talked yesterday, who actually developed this picture. And we have it on the PDT guide on the web. And I think it's one of the best descriptions of the tree bank, because it shows it's both on the linguistic point of view and the technical point of view. It shows that the linguistic description actually consists of four layers, from the word, morphology, surface syntax, to the technogrammatical description, and also shows the basic technical properties, namely the links between the layers, the fact that it's dependency, and the basic properties of the nodes. So that's why we are trying to show it so many times. It's like the commercials. They also try to give you this subconscious view what you should buy. So, you know, when someone says tree bank, you should see this picture. So, and remember, it's PDT, because, you know, some of the commercials I actually don't remember. I know it was a beer, but I don't know which one. So remember, it's a PDT picture. So. Okay, so this is what we want to get for both the Czech and English sides, right? So how to proceed? We have some annotation on the English side. We don't have any Czech. So what do we do? So first of all, we have to translate the texts as they are. So we simply hired translators that had at least the FCE level. That's the Cambridge system of English competence, you know, as a foreign language. So we try to get people who have the FCE at least at the B level. And they simply got the text and we asked them to translate. The goal is then, once we have the original English text and the Czech text, to get manual annotation on both sides. So that's the final goal. We are still far from the goal at the moment. But that's what we want to do. On the English side, though, we do not have to do the manual annotation for all the levels. We could, and we did that, convert the pen tree bank style annotation, both for the morphological layer and for the analytic layer, from the original style of the annotation. And then, of course, the technogrammatical layer will have to be done by hand. And not only that, we have to develop the English specification that might be different from the Czech one, even though it will be very close, because at the meaning level, things should be pretty transferable across languages, but still it won't be exactly the same. And then, of course, we need alignment, because without the alignment, it will be very hard to train anything, because the computer will not know which part of the English sentence or which English sentence actually corresponds to the Czech one. So for the moment, we have sentence aligned all the data, and that's the way we will keep it, and maybe in the future we will have more detailed alignment as well. So the translators, even though they were good at English, they always, when you do a translation, even in a translation office, there are still some guidelines for translation. Sometimes you say, do it as any way you wish. If you translate novels, of course, you are supposed to give it some artistic flavor. You should transfer the mood or whatever. This was not the case. We wanted the people to translate the text in a technical way. So first of all, they were supposed to translate every sentence as a single sentence and only tell us if they can't really do that. I mean, there were some cases where this was really impossible, and then we discarded that part of the corpus, because we simply wanted to have that very easy for any following software, just one-to-one in terms of sentences. Now, of course, the text should be fluent Czech, should be correct Czech, should be as if we publish our economic daily, right? But on the other hand, if there was a choice to do it in a creative way, which is always possible, and in a more literal way, so we told the translators, please do it in the literal way. I don't really mean literal translation. Of course, that's impossible, because it would be very bad Czech, or sometimes maybe even incorrect Czech. But if there was a choice, we told them, but you know, do it more literally than more creatively. And it seems to work. Actually, the worst problems we have with the translation, with the translators, is that they don't understand the subject. You know, people who have the FCE, they might not understand well the business English. And even if they do, they might not understand well the US reality in business, right? So sometimes people didn't know some of the stock market products that are unavailable here, or maybe not even in Europe, and they were not sure how to translate them. They found several translations on the web, and they didn't know what to use. Sometimes they simply didn't know the US reality as such. So translating a very condensed report about the baseball match was pretty difficult if people didn't know what baseball is. And you know, the same for American football and other things. Sometimes when we started to do the translation in 99, I think, in the Czech Republic, we still didn't have the free phone numbers. And so if the text contained a phrase that was something like, and then they used 800 lines with a dash in the middle for whatever, people tended to translate those as 800 phone lines, because they didn't know that 800 lines is a phrase for the free calling lines, because you know, our free lines at the time, I think, started with 6 or something, and they didn't know it. Nowadays we have also 800 lines, but at the time, some of them didn't know what that is. So there was some revision. We had to do the revisions, and we still have to do some of the revisions on the latest data. So at the moment, we are almost done with the translation. We already had about 1/3 of the corpus in 2002 when we started doing first experiments with the parallel tree bank in terms of actually translation and English generation. And we hope we will be done by the end of this year completely. All the 1.2 million words will be translated. So that's on the Czech side. And then, of course, I have not much to say about the Czech annotation. We will simply do it manually. But I will say one more thing later on about that part. But now let's concentrate on the English side. So apart from translating to Czech to have material on the Czech side, we had to do this conversion on the English side on the morphological and analytic layers. The morphology was easy. We just took over the English part of speech tags. But the analytic layer was not so easy. If you look at the original Penn Treebank annotation, and You have a phrase like this one, as an, or just this one, a non-executive director. Now, what should be the head of the phrase? It's not annotated. If you want to do a dependency structure, there is no explicit annotation that would tell you that A should be the head, or non-executive should be the head, or director should be the head. You don't know. And this is a problem, because even in the States, when people write parsers and automatic analyzers, they do want to know what is the head of the phrase. They might not call it dependency, but at least they need a lexical item that will represent the whole phrase. So fortunately, because the people there also need it, there are several algorithms how to determine the heads automatically from the phrase structure annotation. By automatically, I mean that someone had to sit down and write the rules that if you have a phrase that contains a determiner, an adjective, and a noun, then the noun is the head of the phrase. And in fact, this was done by several people, among others by Jason Eisner, and we have used his rules because those rules were the most complete, and I think they are still most used by many people who work with the Penn Tree Bank. There is a set of about 4,000 rules. He had to really write rules for every possible combination of the non-terminal labels and the pre-terminal labels. They are almost complete, but we still had to complement them by some additional rules that were written by our students, Jan Cuzin and Martin Čmerek, and those people actually finished that work, and then we were able to convert the Penn Tree Bank into a Penn Tree Bank with heads. I will show how this algorithm works in a second. And once we have the heads, then it's actually not that difficult to convert the phrase-based style of annotation into a dependency-based style of annotation. But of course, there are other things to do. For example, we have to invent the analytic labels, the dependency relation labels. But again, that was not that difficult because we could use the function tanks, and I will show a table for that as well. So first, let's have a look how the head determination works. So in the beginning, we simply say that the heads of the pre-terminals will be simply the word that's below them. Each word has exactly one pre-terminal, so there is no problem simply moving the words up and saying, yes, if we have the determiner and the, then the is the head of this little phrase. Then board will be the head of this phrase, and so on and so forth. What do you see? Just a fragment of the sentence. It's just part of the verb phrase, but it would be done obviously for all the words in the remaining sentence. Now, let's suppose there is a rule that says that for a noun phrase that has in its derivation, in its immediate derivation, the determiner and a noun, then the noun is the head of the phrase. Well, it doesn't mean that an N will become the head, but the word, the lexical item that's associated with that non-terminal will become the head of the whole noun phrase. And similarly, there must be other rules. So for example, now, since we have the head for both VB and NP, and these two form the VP, now we can determine the head of the verb phrase. Well, of course, we need a rule for that, but there is one which says if you have a verb phrase which dominates a verb and a noun phrase, then the verb is the head of the phrase. So that way we get join as the head of the second level verb phrase. And similarly for modal and a verb, then in this case actually the verb is the head. This is different from Czech, but anyway, this is the way it works in English. And finally, the verb join will become the head of the whole sentence. So that way we can populate all the non-terminals with the lexical unit that is the head of the immediately dominated phrase. And from there, of course, the dependencies are very easy to do. Now, the analytic functions that we wanted to use can be determined from the function words, from the function suffixes of the non-terminals. if that suffixes are present. You remember in that sentence, there were several noun phrases with no functional suffix. And for those cases, we actually had to write some heuristics that would determine what that function should be. Actually, in many cases, we didn't even have to do that because there are many kind of superfluous bracketings in the corpus. And for those, we don't even need that. But in most cases, it was quite easy to determine the function tags. And it was also thanks to the fact that we are using very coarse-grained set. As if you remember from my second talk yesterday, we have only like 7 really interesting labels for the dependencies. So that was quite easy to do even from the English. What was actually more difficult was to do lemmatization. But we were lucky to find on the web something that's called amorph, which is English morphology, and from there you can get dilemmas also quite easily. So the final result of that is if we have the Penn tree bank structure with the heads added, then we can convert it, as I said, quite easily into something which is very, very similar to the Czech analytic structure, even though the words and the tags are obviously taken from the Penn tree bank. So the morphology and the surface syntax will be done by conversion, and from the tectogrammatical annotation, we have to develop new specifications, which we are doing now, and we are almost finished. We have some trial annotations as well, and there is a team of people who works on just the English annotation. And we could also use some of the additional annotation that was already done for the Penn tree bank, such as the prop bank annotation. And you will hear about that if you are staying for the TLT on Friday and Saturday. On Saturday, we have an invited talk by Marsha Palmer, who is one of the authors of the ProBank, and she will talk about those issues. And also, she will talk about that at the VMC courses next week. So we are actually starting the annotation right now. For Czech, we only have the translation, or we'll have the translation also very soon. And we have to do all the 4 layers. Now, since we have the PDT now for Czech, we can also use the tools that we have developed on the prior dependency tree bank for pre-annotating those Czech data. So hopefully the annotation will not be that time-consuming and effort-consuming as it was the initial annotation for the PDT when we had no tools to kind of help the annotators by pre-assigning the structure and the values and so on. What we want to do actually in the end, and which might be an interesting research project as well, is to actually do the tectogrammatical annotation by simply doing the morphology and analytic level automatically, then pre-annotate the tectogrammatical layer also automatically, finish it by hand, and then by using the finished tectogrammatical annotation, which will be manual, to actually correct the output of the automatic analyzer on the analytic layer and on the morphological layer automatically using the manual intuition that was put into the tectogrammatical annotation by the annotators. But we are still not sure if this is going to work, but we hope it could, and that will spare us actually annotating the 2 layers completely manually. So here are some examples, and that will be the end of the talk. This is an actual sentence from the Penn tree bank, which says that those current holders would also receive minority interest in the new company. If you look at the 2 trees, and these are the analytic trees, so you see they are pretty close. And then occasionally happens that the Czech and English are so close that even on the surface syntactic level, it's very close. If I'm right, only the article here is actually there's an extra note on the English side. Otherwise, the sentences are nice. But if you take another sentence, and this one is according to his opinion, United Airlines executives were misinformed about the financing of the original transaction. If you look at these 2 trees, they differ quite substantially. So, for example, there is no preposition on the Czech side. So according to is simply translated by a single preposition in Czech. So that's one of the differences. Executives of UAL, here again, there is no There is no possessive clinic here. It's just the word as it is. Here we have two more articles instead of about the financing of the original transaction. And also, there is an auxiliary which is kind of extra, which doesn't appear in Czech. And also, the word misinformed has to be translated as two words in Czech. But if we look at the technogrammatic representation of those two sentences, the only thing that's different, and that will always be different between those two languages, is this lexical problem with translating misinform. Misinform is actually translated as to inform wrongly. This is the literal translation of that. But otherwise, the two trees, including the functions, are identical. So that's our belief is that if we can reliably analyze both Czech and English into the technogrammatical layer, then the translation will become an easier problem. I mean, if you don't count the analysis effort, but still. So as I said, the PAL tree banks can be used for example, extracting dictionaries, and we have several projects even on the smaller scale that can do that. Of course, we can also train a fully statistical machine translation systems. And if we have the tree bank, we can actually train them on several layers, just on the word layer, which is kind of standard, on the phrase layer, on the surface syntactic layer, and also on the technogrammatic layer. And we are now developing software that can actually do these things, even with the structural annotation. And finally, the project English Dependency Tree Bank has been already published, as I said in the beginning, by the LDC in 2004. It only contained about one third of the data manually translated. And at the time, we only had the automatic tools to do some analysis. So of course, the quality of the corpus is not that great. It's an automatic annotation. But the version 2, which we will hopefully publish within a year or two, will have the manual annotation as I talked about it today. But even then, we were able to use some of the well-known tools for statistical machine translation, like the KISA++, the Pharo decoder, and other things, for training a basic machine translation system that works on the word level. On the actual CD, there is also another parallel corpus, and that's also a pretty large one, and that's the Reader's Digest short stories. I mean, if you have, I think it now is published in many languages, Poland, Russia, everywhere. It's like a small format little book with some translations from English, some completely new stories. So we extracted only the translations and also analyzed those by the automatic tools. Unfortunately, the Reader's Digest stories are almost like novels, and since the company hires one of the best translators here, they are very creative. So looking at those sentences, there is little hope that we will be able to use them automatically very much. But of course, some of them can be used nicely. We have found some sentences that do not even share a word, but from your perspective as a reader, make perfect sense within the context of the story. Well, of course, this cannot be done automatically, at least not yet. So that's the contents of the CD. And here are just some pointers. One of those probably most interesting for you is the last one. I hope it's in the tutorial material contains a pointer to a paper which describes actually the English technogrammatical layer, which is very, very new effort and can be useful maybe for other languages as well. So that's all from me. Any questions? We have 2 minutes. Yes.
I have a question about training machine translation systems. So when you train with the syntactic structures, either the analytic or technogrammatical, how are those used in the statistical translation model?
For actually using the structures, we have developed a model in 2002 at the Johns Hopkins workshop that's called synchronous tree-to-tree transducers. that can actually break the trees on both sides down to very small elementary trees. But those need not be symmetrical. So we can pair a tree with one node to a tree which has two nodes, or maybe even 0 to 1 or 1 to 1. And from those little trees, we can compute the probability of the big tree, which consists of a set of those little trees. And we can also train the parameters of the translation between those little trees, and again, compute the probability that two trees match in terms of English to Czech translation. And then there was a decoder that could then, for each Czech sentence, compute or output such English sentence that had the highest probability based on the composition of those little trees. It didn't work very well because the workshop, as you know, it's short. We had 6 weeks to develop all this, but the software was actually worked very well, and we had two students who worked on this as a dissertation thesis. So now we are close to having our own version, an extended version of those tools, and we will try to apply them once we have the actual manual annotations done. So that's roughly how the structure is used in the translation. But of course, we also used as the plain GISA system to train on the morphological layer using the lemmas, and those lemmas helped a lot as opposed to just plain words. And there were other people who were using the analytic translations for going from a tree directly to a string of words by using Kevin Knight's models, I think described 2 years ago. Okay, so there are no questions. I will pass the microphones to Ota, and you can still think about some questions and maybe ask them at the end.